Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. I want to read you something, and it's incredibly important to the context of this episode and what we're going to be discussing, so please pay attention. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees the rights and freedoms set out in it subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by laws as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. Fundamental freedoms. Everyone has the following fundamental freedoms. Freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication, freedom of peaceable assembly, and freedom of association. Now, in the last few days specifically, there's been a lot of debate around at least Section 2A of the Constitution Act of 1982 and the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Now, the point of this episode, I want to go through some of these debates and talk about, not try and solve them per se, because we live in a free and democratic society and everyone's welcome to make a charter challenge if they so wish to, and as Section 2B dictates, everyone has freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, myself being one of those people, so I'm entitled to my opinion, but that is just an opinion. Because my rights stop where yours begin, and I can't infringe on your rights, so my opinions are my own. But in the last few days, there has been a lot of hubbub drawn up because we've seen some very high-profile cases with lockdown ensuing here in Manitoba and in Ontario, specifically in the Toronto region. There have been quite a few incidences where people have been arguing that the government has been overstepping, there have been challenges to freedoms, and people kind of getting in arguments about whether or not the legality of some health orders have basis. In Etobicoke, a barbecue store owner flouted health restrictions by offering in-person dining. And saying that his business would go under if he didn't, essentially saying that the government of Ontario was not allowing him to operate his business, even though he was legally allowed to operate his business, just not in-person dining. And there's a church here in Manitoba, I'm not going to give its name because I don't want to shine too much light on it. Look up Malaka Abbas's Twitter, and she did some great coverage of it yesterday, but where they have also been flouting health orders here in Manitoba, having in-person religious ceremonies. And the impetus for this episode actually came yesterday after reading all the tweets. I'm recording this on Monday, so the day before you're hearing it live. And looking at Malak's tweets, following that along, looking at the replies, and I saw a, there is a change.org petition floating around on local Christian Twitter, I guess, or not Twitter, local Christian Facebook, because I have some very Christian friends who are amazing and wonderful, and I love them very much, and they signed this petition, and it was make religion essential. The friends that I'm talking about have been going to drive-in sermons or services because they go to a church that offers that, and they've been able to get their, you know, their religious fill, I guess you could say. So this particular debate, and I'm going to get into the debate of lockdown itself in a second, but I want to first focus on this religious discussion. So, as laid out in Section 2A of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, everyone has freedom of conscience and religion. We are allowed to practice our religions, believe what we want to believe, and nobody can tell us otherwise. Nobody can stop us legally from practicing those. But this freedom does have legal limits, as prescribed by point 1 of the Charter. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees the rights and freedoms set out in it, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. This is the key point here. The bit of legalese, and so legal verbiage is exclusionary. It is not permissive. It tells you, essentially, and laws typically tell you what you cannot do, not what you can do. So you, by association, by telling you what you cannot do, in the inverse, you know what you can do. Now with this, basically every right and freedom laid out here in basically in the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, following point one is subject to point one, where if it can, that we can limit rights and freedoms subject to law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. So this is a weird bit of, it's a, basically like a shifting goalpost. It's something not quite arbitrary, but it is something that it's being allowed to be open to interpretation. Progress is being baked in to the Charter, so we aren't stuck with rulings that happened, you know, this started the Constitution Act in the 19, you know, this stretches all the way back to 1867 when Canada was established, the Dominion of Canada, in 1862. It was the Dominion of Canada, 1867 is when this all started going on. So what this part, demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society, what that part actually does is it gives us wiggle room where each successive government, legal body, iteration of Canada as a nation, you know, year by year, day by day, month by month, we can make these little tweaks where we can come together and decide, okay, in the best interest and to not infringe on the safety of others or whatever, we can make these decisions. Now, where a lot of the COVID restrictions, or not restrictions, we're allowing, this debate is coming over Section 7 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. This is incredibly, incredibly important to this debate. It is, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of the person, and the right to not be deprived thereof, except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice. Now, that is incredibly important. Your liberty can be restricted by fundamental justice. That is, by you violate laws, the court in Canada finds you, the Crown finds you guilty, your liberty is restricted very significantly. But also, I want to talk about that person, that first part, as the right to life. Right to life. This goes back to fundamental discussions about human rights and the, and bodily autonomy. You are not allowed to impinge on my bodily autonomy. So you are not allowed to legally allowed, you has a right to life. You are not allowed to do anything that can cause me harm, that can cause me bodily harm or harm my right to life. Just like I can't harm somebody else's. The axiom that I've seen thrown around is, you know, your right to throw a punch ends at the point of my nose. You know, you cannot, your rights end, your the right of your bodily autonomy ends where mine begins. And you cannot impinge on that. So this is bringing, right now with COVID-19, the fact that, with what we know about this virus and how it spreads and how it infects people, you know, the infected are a victim. They are having their bodily autonomy, their quote-unquote right to life in many cases, and life is a whole other debate in and of itself, they're having their right to life impinged on because somebody has contracted COVID-19, who has done something where they have been infected, and they've infected somebody else unwillingly or unknowingly. We actually have laws which say, and there's legal precedent for this, that you cannot deliberately infect another human being, that they are, in many circumstances, are legally required or legally allowed to know if you are infectious because you are putting them in danger. You know, people with certain, you know, spitting on somebody can be considered a deadly weapon or a higher class of assault if you are infected with something because they are an unwilling participant in that. You are endangering their right to life and their bodily autonomy. So what this is doing right now, because of COVID-19, because of the infectiousness of it, the death and illness and the demonstrable long-term health impacts that it has, it's bringing Section 7 and Section 2A into conflict with one another right now. You know, the bodily autonomy of everybody who does not take part in these religious services is being brought into conflict with the rights of freedom of conscience and religion to the people taking part. So the Canadian government and the provincial governments are acting with the authority of Section 1, where they can restrict the rights and freedoms based on what can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. Now, we're also getting into a debate about access. So the debate is basically saying, because there are legitimate and easily accessible, you know, the fact, accessibility is the important part here, the fact that religious service can be accessible remotely in 2020 during this COVID-19 pandemic, that means the government can restrict in person legally because it's still free. The freedom of religion still exists. You are still able to access and partake in your religious freedoms, Section 2A. You're still able to retain your Section 2A rights without infringing on other people's Section 7 rights. So you're able to practice your religion. You go on a Zoom thing. You, like my friends, they've posted on their Instagram stories and Snapchat stories of them sitting in their cars in a parking lot with a big screen listening to a service, their Sunday morning service, and they're able to practice their religion. Now, we also have to consider there are certain religious sects that do not facilitate remote or personal study. Part of the Protestant Reformation was the fact that now Protestants, Martin Luther thought about, you know, predetermination and destiny and the right and the ability of the average Catholic or the average Christian to read the words of God, read the Bible, interpret them their own way, and reach salvation that way. So you do not need a pastor or a priest to do that. They're there if you need, but you can practice on your own. You can read the Bible. You are smart enough that you can read the Bible on your own and take away from that. Unfortunately, there are sects of various different religions outside of the Judeo-Christian tradition, which do not require you to come together. There have actually been some who've come out and said, hey, we're going to actually, you know, God will understand. He wants you to be safe, so go do that. But the problem is we are bringing Section 2A and Section 7 into conflict with one another, and the government is stepping in on its Section 1 and limiting these rights and freedoms. So, you know, restricting people's bodily autonomy in a way by saying you have to wear a mask and you have to, you know, you have to self-isolate and things like that to potentially stop the spread of COVID-19. And you have to, you know, you can't have in-person religious services right now, or with a significantly, before we were able to have them with a significantly lowered indoor gathering size. So your Section 2A is not technically violated. You are still able, because of Section 2A, you're able to have your religion. You just need to practice it in a way. And in a free and democratic, justifiable in a free and democratic society, nobody's actually stopping them from exercising their religious rights. They are just tweaking how they do it temporarily. So that is that part of the debate, is how far can we tweak these rights? How far can we limit these when it becomes a fundamental violation? Personally, I'm sitting here thinking about it and looking at it and reasoning through that technically, because you are still being allowed to have freedom of conscience and religion, then that right is not being violated. You know, even the anti-maskers, their rights are there in 2B, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression. However, we are bringing into conflict again. 2A and 2B are in conflict with Section 7. What we need to do here is we need to find that balance. So the government is curtailing these rights in a way that they do not violate the spirit of those rights while protecting people. It's kind of, you know, not robbing Peter to pay Paul, but you are limiting certain rights to ensure that the rights of others are not impinged upon. So requiring people to wear masks and stopping where they can go, because right in here, mobility rights, every citizen in Section 6 is on mobility rights. Every citizen has the right to enter, remain, and leave, and leave Canada, sorry. Every permanent person who has the status of a permanent resident of Canada has the right to move and to take up residence in any province and to pursue the gain of a livelihood in any province. So you're able to move around in Canada. You're legally allowed to move around in Canada on your own and be anywhere you want to be. But these are being brought into conflict with Section 7. People's right to life, people's right to a bodily autonomy are being impinged upon. So people who don't wear their masks are, in a way, violating someone else's Section 7 rights by potentially infecting them with COVID-19, while people who don't want to wear a mask are arguing that they're wrongfully arguing, really, that Section 2B allows them to wear a mask. It's more Section 7 itself, in a weird way. It's a bit of the two together, but it's still their practicing of those rights ends where another person's rights begin. You cannot violate someone else's Section 7 right to life. Just like you can't kill another person, you can't unknowingly kill somebody. You can't unknowingly infect them, because you are held legally responsible because you've violated their legal rights. And there could be a charter challenge in your future if you do that. Now, the other major thing, I talked about Section 6 and mobility rights in Canada. So here are other ones. So Section 7 and below, from Section 7 to Section 15 are all legal rights. Equality rights are Section 15, but we're starting with legal rights. Section 7 Everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of the person, and the right not to be deprived thereof, except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice. That part there is important. You can be legally required to wear a mask, because it says so. You can't go against it, because Section 7 right there. Everyone has the right to be secure against unreasonable search and seizure. That's fine. Section 9. Everyone has the right not to be arbitrarily detained or imprisoned. This is really what is being, what a lot of people are using to argue against lockdown provisions. They are essentially saying, and some people have actually brought this argument up, is that their Section 9 rights are being violated by the government telling them to stay home and not allowing, basically not allowing them to go to Walmart or not allowing them to go to Earl's is violating their Section 9 rights, and they're being arbitrarily detained or imprisoned. Now, if you've got an ounce of critical thinking skill, you might be able to pick out what's silly about that there. We have not been legally required to stay in our homes. We haven't been, you know, the government hasn't come around yet and, you know, put boards over our doors and changed our locks and made it so we can't leave our houses. We haven't been arbitrarily detained. Arbitrarily detained or imprisoned means that you know, the word arbitrary, I'm actually going to pull up the definition for arbitrary right now. What does arbitrary actually mean? Arbitrary, based on random choice or personal whim rather than any reason or system. Now, the fact that we have health orders that, by Canadian law, are legally binding for the length that this pandemic and this health crisis, this national crisis, lasts, because health orders are falling under a section of law that they don't need to pass the certain checks and balances that other laws have to, because we are in a time of exceptional circumstance, we are in a national crisis. So those laws are technically, until this pandemic's over, law. That goes against the word arbitrary, based on random choice or personal whim rather than any reason or system. You are not being detained arbitrarily. You're not, first off, you're not being detained at all. You're still able to walk outside. I went for a walk last night. I got outside. I wasn't detained in my house. I've gone for a walk every single day. You're not being detained, and you're certainly not arbitrarily being detained. The 14-day quarantine, sure, people are arguing that that is an arbitrary detainment. You are being detained because you are being forced to stay in a place for 14 days. You know, try and argue how bad that is to somebody who has to sit in solitary confinement, and I'll wait for your response, but they are being detained, but it is not arbitrary. By the very definition of the word arbitrary, they are not being arbitrarily detained, because there is a system and a reason for that detainment. Just like how somebody who violates a law, who breaks a law, somebody who kills somebody or steals something or commits embezzlement or fraud or you know, gets a DUI and hits somebody, like, they're being detained not arbitrarily. They're being detained for a legal reason. At first, back to Section 7, everyone has the right to life, liberty, or security of the person, and the right not to be deprived thereof, except in accordance with the principles of fundamental justice. Swing all the way back up to point 1. Charter of Rights and Freedoms guarantees the rights and freedoms set out in it, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. We have 150 years of case law that says that these things are the way we operate as a country. They can be changed, they can be tweaked, but they are not arbitrary. So this is the complexity of where we're at right now. We have people whose rights, as they argue it, are being violated. But we're in a bit of a legal gray area. Some people argue that Section 9 rights, everyone has the right to not be arbitrarily detained or imprisoned, that is being violated by lockdown orders or the 14-day quarantine. But we have just now proven that that is not true. If the government grabbed you off the street as they did in Portland in the United States and just grabbed you off the street and threw you in a locked room, that's being arbitrarily detained. You were just walking down the street, grabbed off the street, thrown in somewhere. That becomes a challenge. If the RCMP rocked up and you're walking down the street, they pull you off the road, throw you in the back of an unmarked van, and they throw you in a cell, that's being arbitrarily detained. Depending on the reasoning they have for it, but that comes down to legal precedent and a charter challenge, probably. But being put in your home, as we've just proven, because you're able to walk out your front door, go for a walk, go to Walmart, granted only get something that's essential, but you're still able to go, you're not being detained. The 14-day quarantine has legal backing to have that detainment, just like the legal backing of somebody who kills somebody going to prison. Those are not something that can be debated, I don't think, personally. You know, me with no legal background can see, just by basic logic and reason, that you're not being violated, your rights are not being violated. I can walk out my front door right now. But this is the big debate going on right now. Is the government limiting, and because it is by the fact that it is through the health orders by law, should make this debate about Section 2A a little bit rockier to make. Because there are, as Section 1, I will say it again, subject only to such reasonable limits prescribed by law as can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. We have decided the provisions of national emergencies and extraordinary powers, extraordinary circumstances, are legal because they have been used in the past. They were used during the Spanish flu epidemic. So we have legal precedent. And we are ensuring that your Section 2A rights are not in violation of somebody else's Section 7 rights, to the right to life and security of the person, otherwise known as bodily autonomy. So when these debates are going on, you need to know what the conversation behind them is. As we're closing up here today, laws are written in a very strange way. Legalese is not just to make it something overly complicated, it's to explicitly state something while not stating it at all. It is to write something in such a roundabout way that it can be interpreted and tweaked. Just read anything about Dick Cheney's life, read the movie on his life, Vice, and you'll kind of get what I'm talking about. Laws are written to be amorphous. They can be solid one second and clear in some respects, but then arbitrary and amorphous in others, because it gives flexibility. It gives flexibility for change. That's why case law is so important, because it allows for circumstance, and especially exceptional circumstance, to prevail and for things to be altered and changed. That's the period we're in right now. We're in exceptional times, and that freedom, that ability to tweak and change and to discuss and to make small changes or build up case law in a way that we can do things that are kind of extraordinary to ensure the people's right to life is preserved and other fundamental rights are preserved. We needed those tweaks. We needed those changes. We needed that gray area to ensure that our right to life, that the health of Canadians is preserved. Now, I would say go read the Charter. It's really fascinating, and it's a great conversation to have. And that will do it for me today. This has been Let's Talk About. I've been Jason. You've been the audience. If you're listening live on 101.5 UM FM, thank you very much. Got maybe one more episode before the holiday break. We'll see how I'm feeling. But if you're listening live on 101.5 UM FM, thank you very much for tuning in. Got some great music, great shows coming up. So stay tuned. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. And have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.